The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The Patriot is WWTC Minneapolis St. Paul. FM 107.5 K298CO Minneapolis. Intelligent Radio.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Former President Donald Trump appeared Saturday at the Conservative Political Action Conference, Texas.
You are the loyal defenders of our heritage, our liberty, our culture, our Constitution, and our God-given rights. You never stop fighting for America, and I will never, ever stop fighting for you. Won't happen. Thank you.
The 45th president won by a wide margin an unofficial straw poll of attendees on who they want to be the Republican nominee for president in 2024. Cuban authorities say a fire set off by a lightning strike overnight at an oil storage facility is still raging uncontrolled in the city of Matanzas, where four explosions have been recorded. 17 firefighters are missing, 120 people hurt. This is SRN News.
Bad decisions limit future options. Make enough bad decisions and you destroy your life. Listen to The Flatline with your host Rick Hughes every Sunday morning at 7:30 here on AM 1280 The Patriot. The Flatline describes a main line of resistance in your soul, built on God's Word. Join us every Sunday for 30 minutes of inspiration, motivation, education, all without manipulation.
The Flatline with Rick Hughes, every Sunday morning at 7:30, here on AM 1280, The Patriot. AM 1280, The Patriot.
Before Bamboo HR, I feel like crying just thinking about it.
We were still handling everything via paper, and we literally had paper stacked.
It was all spreadsheets and like folders.
From the moment I started using it, I felt calmer.
As soon as we started using the Bamboo like onboarding checklist, I mean, it was extremely easy.
Headcount, turnover, years of service. Like there's just so many different reports that I use at different points in time.
I'm like totally set free to focus on the people, to focus on development, to focus on team dynamics.
It's freeing me up to do more of the stuff that actually matters in HR, which is interacting with people, learning from them, and then building stuff for them.
Everything is in this one place. I can't even imagine what it would be like without Bamboo HR.
We're Bamboo HR, and we'd love to set you free to do great work. Come try our award-winning all-in-one HR software for free with no strings attached. Visit BambooHR.com/HR for this free trial offer. That's BambooHR.com/HR.
Help the Helpless, a Minneapolis St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father Altier and volunteers, is humbly asking for your kind support to help the poor and handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from Help the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults, leading productive lives. They are also providing aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is being done by St. Mary's Father Anthony's organization. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of the Mother. To learn more, go to helpthehelpless.org. You'll be able to see the children and families that are in need of your help. You may also call 877-762-8857. The website, again, is helpthehelpless.org. That's helpthehelpless.org. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Is God calling you to share your educational gifts in a faith-infused environment? Teaching at Epiphany Catholic School is an opportunity to inspire children to use their talents to serve God, a chance to help form young people to make an impact in this world. If you're a Catholic teacher who truly desires to shape young minds to reach their fullest potential through a Catholic worldview, Epiphany Catholic School would like to meet you. At Epiphany, Christ isn't an afterthought, but the center of the school. We are a growing Catholic preschool through 8th grade school near Minneapolis. We're searching for Catholic teachers who understand that teaching children isn't just a job. It's a calling to inspire students to become true and good. For more information about joining Epiphany Catholic School's teaching team, visit epiphanymn.org and look under the Resource tab for job postings. That's epiphanymn.org. Epiphany Catholic School, forming saints and citizens for this world and the next. Visit epiphanymn.org.
Whether you're preparing for a typical Sunday morning or a special holiday service, you'll find an array of helpful, creative tools from Worship House Media. From countdown timers to sermon illustrations, visit worshiphousemedia.com. That's worshiphousemedia.com, a division of Salem Media Group.
Soaking up the sun in Fiji, walking through the sculpture garden in Minneapolis, or standing in awe at the Grand Canyon. We're where you are. Stream AM 1280 The Patriot at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
Portions of this program may have been pre-recorded.
The following program was pre-recorded, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of this station or its management.
It's time for the World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation in Bloomington and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. Here now is your host, Al Momberg.
Thanks, Doc. This morning we're going to visit with Kerry McCulley, who has written a very interesting book about his adventures in aviation. The name of the book is Ferry Pilot, Nine Lives Over the North Atlantic, a flying memoir. For some 30 years, Kerry was an international ferry pilot, flying a variety of aircraft over the North Atlantic. He had a fuel system malfunction, a total electric failure at night over the Sahara, struck by lightning off the coast of Portugal, and lost his engine in a thunderstorm. Oh, and by the way, he was also an international smuggler and a bank robber.
What?
The book again, Ferry Pilot, Nine Lives Over the North Atlantic. Kerry, welcome to the World of Aviation.
Thanks, Al. Glad to be here.
My first question, are you out of your ever-loving mind? Are you nuts?
That seems to be the general consensus, yes.
I want to get a time frame here. When did you first, what year was that?
My first ferry flight was in 1990.
And then your last one?
I think I did one. Last one was about 2.5 years ago, so I'm still kind of in it, but trying to kick the single engine over the North Atlantic habit.
You're an adventurer. You like excitement. I received your book on Friday, and I read the book over the last 2 days. Everything except for the last chapter, where you're dealing with the folks in Iran. And the book was very difficult to put down. My wife went out and did a lot of shopping yesterday because I was just sitting there reading. What were you doing?
I hear a lot of people have wasted a lot of time reading that stuff.
Yeah, you're a good writer. The book is a great read, and I would highly recommend it. Who's the publisher on this?
I self-published.
Oh, nicely done. It is great.
My wife was the editor. We fought over the commas and stuff, but came up pretty good.
I want to add that on average, three ferry pilots die every year trying to do what you have done for 30 years. Oh, and I also want to mention that you own and operate Skydive Twin Cities in Baldwin, Wisconsin. And by the way, Baldwin is a beautiful town. I was part of the group that built the radio station in Amory. So I've been to Baldwin many times back in the late 1970s. And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous area. How long have you had your flight school there?
About 25 years. Yeah, I've owned the drop zone for that long.
There. Wow. Let's go into, was it your first flight you're flying? It was at a Cessna 172, and ahead of you, you're flying over the Atlantic, and there's a massive thunderstorm. Was that your first flight?
I think you might be, there's a 210, there's one I did in the thunderstorm in Africa. and 210. My second flight was a 182, and I had flying the thunderstorms over the Mediterranean. Probably one of those.
You're flying the plane, and what I remember is you're trying to speculate how high this thunderstorm is, thinking maybe can I go over it? And as I'm reading this, and whatever plane you were flying, I was chuckling, because I thought there's no way that you're going to climb above that thunderstorm, because it was over 40,000 feet, the tower clouds. So you made the decision to go straight into it, trying to pick out what would be the weakest part of it. You know, these are things that we as pilots, we just don't want to do. I mean, I give thunderstorms quite a bit of leeway when I see them. You made the decision to fly into it. Did you think to yourself, am I out of my ever-loving mind?
Pretty much, but when you're in a situation like that, like I think you'd mentioned, I was past the point of no return, and there's literally nowhere else to go, the decision's kind of easy. It's just that's the only way to go. That's what you have to do. So figure out, how am I going to survive this?
And you were encountering downdrafts and updrafts that would take you down 1,000 feet at a time and take you up 1,000 feet at a time. I want to go back to the beginning. When you became a ferry pilot, you're flying a lot of times single-engine aircraft, and they don't have the fuel capacity to make it across. How long would be your average trip, and how many extra tanks of fuel would you have behind the pilot seat that you would siphon fuel from those tanks into the wing tanks?
Well, the longest leg over the Atlantic usually is 1,500 to 1,600 miles. We go down to the Azores, which is from St. John's, Canada, Newfoundland to the Azores, which is the islands off the coast of Portugal. And in your average 182-type speed plane, you know, that'll be about 10, 11 hours, and you'll put in from 90 to 150 gallons of fuel in the cockpit. A couple times, I think three times, I've made it straight from St. John's to Paris, and that's over 2,300 miles. Those are 1,400 legs.
And there's no napping, really.
Well, I didn't say that. You know, one of the biggest challenges in ferry flying is staying awake in the plane, because you, especially when you're flying east, you know, you're burning through all the time zones. So you get up in the morning super early, get flying, you fly all day. By the time you get to your destination, it's late at night because you've lost 2 or 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
By the time you get to the hotel and finally try to get some sleep, you've only got 5 or 6 hours to hopefully get some sleep and get up and do it again. And do that 3, 4, 5, 6 days in a row, fatigue is a huge problem.
Which thunderstorm were you? Yeah. Which thunderstorm were you in when your engine went out? And I should mention that you enjoyed wearing the Walkman and listened to music, and suddenly became very quiet in the plane.
Yeah, that was when I was ferrying a Mooney from St. Paul to Italy, and it was over Maine when I had a line of thunderstorms I needed to get through. Now, this one, I didn't actually fly into the thunderstorm. I did have, you know, a storm scope on there, a strike finder, and was talking to ATC, and they found me a gap in the thunderstorms. But they were embedded thunderstorms, so I was in the clouds. But, yeah, about 19,000 feet on oxygen, just jamming to the music, and suddenly there's a beeping noise. Turned out it wasn't my music.
You know, you're over an ocean, and your engine is out. I mean, not a good scenario. How long before the engine started again, and how did you get the engine started? And what was the problem?
Well, the problem was that particular ferry tank system. See, we fly all kinds of different airplanes, and the ferry tanks that get installed are plumbed into the system different ways. Sometimes the fuel goes directly to the engine. Sometimes it feeds the wing tanks and then to the engine. On this Mooney, the mechanic had told me it's, you know, not a problem to run a ferry tank dry. Just go ahead and leave the valve open. But what had happened was when I ran the ferry tank dry, the air coming through, the ferry tanks are pressurized with outside air, and the air went through and just basically prevented the fuel that was in the wing tanks from getting the engine. So the engine died. Whenever you're flying an airplane with ferry tanks and you've got a, and the engine dies, the first thing you do is switch stuff around. I closed off, isolated the ferry tank system, turned on the boost pump, but that didn't work. And so it was dead stick for probably 20 minutes, you know, just trying to keep control of the airplane and get back to an airport. And then finally, the engine started again. That was a long 20 minutes.
Where did you land at that point?
That was at, now I mentioned that was over Maine, so I wasn't over the ocean on that
okay.
one. And I landed at Potsdam
yeah.
Airport. Yeah, you know, that was probably one of the first trips I actually had a GPS with. And it was duct tape to the instrument panel, the glare shield. And I asked ATC where the nearest airport was. They told me one, you know, one that was 45 miles behind me. Pointed out that I was in a Mooney, and when I lose an engine, that's all of them. So I needed something closer. And he directed me to Potsdam.
Was that the trip where a reporter actually showed up, and the paramedics and the fire crews had all showed up, and you had landed safely, and they were a tad disappointed?
Yeah, that was. I was, the ATC, you know, guided me through the clouds and put me up on, you know, on an approach, and that's when the engine restarted, and as I was pretty much on final. And yeah, the whole town turned out to watch to see an airplane crash, and they were very disappointed that I didn't blow up. So sorry,
you greased the landing. Kerry, we're going to take a break. We'll continue our conversation. I want to pick up with you flew a brand new 1993 Bonanza, if something's going to go wrong, of course it's going to happen over an ocean. Kerry McCulley is our guest. The book is Ferry Pilot: 9 Lives Over the North Atlantic. It's a flying memoir, and it's a wonderful read. It is 10:16. You're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation, with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
In today's world, time is precious, and Thunderbird Aviation is here to save it by offering world-class charter services for you to avoid planning an entire travel day for a two-hour flight. Skip the airport trips and long security lines by chartering a flight to your next family or business destination. Thunderbird's charter flights allows you to avoid crowded airports and adjust your departure. Visit ThunderbirdAviation.com to request a quote or email charter@ThunderbirdAviation.com today.
Has your work-life balance taken a toll by working from home? The Eden 100 building has exactly what you need to reestablish your work-life balance. Affordable office leases available immediately in a private office setting. The Eden 100 building will provide you an opportunity to separate your 9-to-5 from the family and get back into a healthy routine. Conveniently located off Eden Avenue and Highway 100. For details and showings, contact property management at 952-767-0327. That's 952-767-0327.
Half off school tuition? It's real. Avail Academy, Blainer High School campus, is offering 50% off tuition for the upcoming school year for a new family. For more info, go to availacademy.org. Mention the voucher, availacademy.org.
I appeal to you to fight. I fully recognize not everyone has a fighting nature, but everyone can help fighters. What's wrong is not to do either. If the troops have no supplies, the troops are worthless. This station is a fighter. So there's a very simple way for you to help this station, and that is just patronize their sponsors.
Help us continue to keep the Twin Cities right by supporting the local businesses you hear on this station.
Hear the top voices in conservative radio on your Amazon smart speaker.
Now streaming AM 1280 The Patriot, intelligent radio.
Just ask Alexa to play The Patriot Minneapolis. That's Play The Patriot Minneapolis.
The aviation industry is hiring, meaning there is no time like the present to start your career in aviation. This is Al Malmberg. Academy College supports you while you make your dreams come true. Earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business, IT, or aviation. Choose career-specific courses that enhance your knowledge in your chosen field. If aviation is your calling, enroll in the Commercial Pilot, Aviation Management, or the only FAA-approved dispatch course in the entire state of Minnesota. Academy College makes the college transition easy. You have the flexibility to attend courses in person or virtually to fit your schedule. Academy College offers small class sizes, hands-on instruction, and a competitive atmosphere to ensure you graduate as a true competitor in the marketplace. Live up to your potential, reach your dreams, and do it all with Academy's support. Start by emailing admissions at academycollege.edu or call 952-851-0066. Next quarter begins October 3rd. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Our guest is Kerry McCulley. The book is Ferry Pilot, Nine Lives Over the North Atlantic, a flying memoir. Kerry, you grew up in the Twin Cities. Whereabouts?
Yeah, I grew up in Coon Rapids, just north of Minneapolis.
All right, let's go to 1993. You're going to... first of all, a couple of things. When you have these extra gas tanks... fuel tanks behind your seat, passenger seat, how would you route the lines to feed the engine or to feed the wing tanks? How would they be routed?
Well, usually they go from, you know, the bottom of the tank, there'll be a shutoff valve, and then the line goes usually under the floor to an access panel, and you'll either tee right into the lines coming off the wings or direct a line right into the engine. Some planes, like a high wing, like a 182 or something, we'd actually route the line up through the air vent and duct tape the line onto the wing into a special fuel cap that we'd put on top of the wing. It would supply the fuel up that way. So a liberal dose of duct tape always comes in handy there.
Okay, 1993. You know, duct tape is fabulous. You're gonna ferry a brand new Bonanza. And because it was a new plane, your boss routed the lines differently, which presented a problem when you were in flight. How did you do it differently? And what was the problem? Suddenly you found yourself not being able to transfer fuel.
Yeah. Well, the main, little basic thing about the ferry tanks is we use outside air to pressurize the tank because they don't gravity feed. You need to have pressure to move the fuel from the ferry tank to the wings. And what we do for that is we route an airline usually mounted to the bottom of the plane. So we drill a hole in the bottom of the plane, mount this J-tube that would face forward, and then lock it in place with a big nut and washer. And then that line goes to the tank, pressurize the tank. The boss didn't want to drill a hole in this plane, so he had the great idea of taking that J-tube and just sticking it through the side of an access panel in the belly, and then tightening it way down, and again, a half a roll of duct tape to hold it in place. And unfortunately, that only lasted 3 days.
Yeah, so you're over the Atlantic when you realize that the fuel is not being transferred, and you're not going to have enough fuel to make it. It's interesting how creative you got on these trips where you found yourself with a bit of a problem. How are you able to transfer the fuel out of these extra tanks? And you transferred, I believe, into the wing tanks, correct?
Yeah. So once I turned the fuel tank on and realized it wasn't transferring, I did some troubleshooting, and the first thing I did was pop the tank off, pop the top of the tank off, and I should have had high-pressure air, and it wasn't. So I unhooked the airline. And saw that it was, could feel it should be blasting air from outside, and it wasn't doing that. So I knew I had to pressurize the tank somehow. And I sat there and looked at that hose in the tank and thought, if I can blow up an air mattress, maybe I can blow up a steel ferry tank. And just started blowing in the hose. The simplest solution's usually the best.
Now, why was the outside air choked off, if I can use that expression?
Well, what had happened is that J tube that we had duct taped in place, you know, had shifted a bit. I'd probably flown through a little bit of rain over the course of 2 days. It worked great from St. Paul to St. John's, Newfoundland. You know, when he first showed me that, I wasn't too thrilled with the duct tape method. He said, test it out, see how it works, and if it doesn't work, we'll figure something else out. Well, it worked from St. Paul to Bangor, Maine, and then from Bangor, Maine to St. John's. You know, it was, you know, 10, 15 hours of flying, so I just assumed it would continue to work, which was a pretty bad assumption. So that hose had shifted, and just enough that it wasn't pressurizing.
So you come up with the idea of like blowing up an air mattress, as you said, and so you started, you disconnected the hose and you started blowing into this thing. You know, I can't imagine. I think every one of us is blowing up an air mattress, and when you get done blowing up the air mattress, it takes a while to recover. How long did you have to do this, and how many extra tanks did you have to do it to?
I had to blow pretty much continuously for about 8.5 hours, which was pure torture. I'd also hadn't had any sleep the day before, so I'm going on over 24 hours of no sleep. I decided to press on and not take my normal day off. And another little tiny fact, I was at 15,000 feet with no oxygen, so can you say hypoxic?
Unbelievable. You had to have been so lightheaded. I don't know how you could be thinking clearly, or were you?
Oh, definitely not. I mean, one of my greatest fears that night was passing out, because what the biggest problem I saw is if I was asleep, if I ran the wing tanks dry, I'm sure the engine quitting would wake me up. But by the time I realized that, you know, I've only got, you know, however long it takes to glide down to the ocean from 15,000 feet at night. I don't think I could have pressurized the ferry tank quick enough to get fuel up to the wing tanks to then get fuel to the engine. So I thought if I passed out, I was going to die. But turned out to not be the case, because I think I passed out at least 3 times.
Really?
Yeah, I was done. And there's tons of gas fumes in the plane, too, because I'd open up the top of the tank trying to troubleshoot the problem. And, you know, I've got a pretty good high altitude tolerance as long as you're sitting still and not exerting yourself. I can fly at 15,000 feet all day long without oxygen. Theoretically, according to tell the FAA, that's just a theory.
When you're beyond the point of no return, are you in contact with any control service?
Yeah, we have, you know, HF radios that we use across over the ocean, and we do position reports every hour and a half, 2 hours, something like that. But, you know, I didn't tell ATC what was going on because there really wasn't anything they could do for me at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I might as well, I don't need to sit there and answer a whole bunch of questions and stuff. I'm still on course and going. If I start going down, I'll let them know if I think I'm going to crash. But I just kept going.
We all like to learn from others' experience. Thus, we enjoy watching shows like Air Disaster. There's a guy in this book that you love to get together with. He was an older, experienced pilot and had great stories. And I'm going to butcher his name here. Shiv Chitani. Am I even close?
Yeah. Giovanni, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. What were the stories that he told you that were just to the point of unbelievable?
Oh, he had a bunch. You know, he was kind of infamous in the ferry flying business back in the 80s and 90s. I think my favorite is he was
the white
flying
churches?
Over Greenland. Huh?
The white churches?
Oh, they have the white churches. Yeah, he was flying from Scotland to Iceland, and he got into icing and had to get underneath the overcast, and it was, you know, low visibility, and he, you know, trying to find Reykjavik, and he got to Iceland and kind of missed the coastline with the clouds and came into, flew over a lake, and he figured, okay, well, all I have to do is take a left and follow the shoreline, it'll take me to Reykjavik, and he kept flying and flying and flying. talked to ATC. He's like, I'm lost. I can't seem to find it. They asked him to describe. He goes, I don't know. I keep passing all these white churches every 10, 15 minutes. He's like, they realized he was in a lake passing the same church over and over and over again.
Yeah, when I was reading the book, I don't recall what my wife Kathy was doing, but I just burst out laughing because it was just so darn funny. And you visualize this guy following the shoreline, and it's a lake, and he's thinking it's the ocean, and he keeps going across all these white churches. It's the same church over and over and over again.
Wow, they build them all the same. You know, must be standard.
And the guy in the air traffic control is trying to figure out, what is he talking about? All these white churches. And, oh, man, it's such a great story. Kerry, we're going to take a break. The book is Ferry Pilot, Nine Lives Over the North Atlantic, a flying memoir. Again, our guest is Kerry McCulley. You're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at 35W and 494. And by Thunderbird Aviation, where I learned to fly. Two locations, Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is the World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
In today's world, time is precious. And Thunderbird Aviation is here to save it by offering world-class charter services for you to avoid planning an entire travel day for a two-hour flight. Skip the airport trips and long security lines by chartering a flight to your next family or business destination. Thunderbird's charter flights allows you to avoid crowded airports and adjust your departure. Visit ThunderbirdAviation.com to request a quote or email charter at ThunderbirdAviation.com today.
Has your work-life balance taken a toll by working from home? The Eden 100 building has exactly what you need to reestablish your work-life balance. Affordable office leases available immediately in a private office setting. The Eden 100 building will provide you an opportunity to separate your 9-to-5 from the family and get back into a healthy routine. Conveniently located off Eden Avenue and Highway 100. For details and showings, contact property management at 952-767-0327. That's 952-767-0327.
Sightseeing in Paris, at the mall in Bloomington, or on horseback in Dallas. We're where you are. Listen to AM 1280, The Patriot, at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
Did you know that the Patriot mobile app can do more than just stream your favorite shows? Here's cool feature number one. You can set an alarm on our app that will automatically start streaming The Patriot at whatever time you decide. It's easy. Just open the menu in the upper left-hand corner, select Alarm, and choose a time. You can set it to wake you up in the morning with Hugh Hewitt or any of your favorite hosts. Download the free AM 1280 The Patriot app today. You can listen to AM 1280 The Patriot on all Amazon Echo devices. Simply ask Alexa to play The Patriot Minneapolis, and you'll hear your favorite hosts.
This is Dennis Prager, and thanks for listening to me on your Alexa device.
Al Momberg here for Thunderbird Aviation, located at Crystal Airport and Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie. Thunderbird offers scenic flights and introductory flight lessons to get you up in the air, flight training for the future pilot, and fueling and maintenance for the aircraft owner. Thunderbird Aviation is dedicated to providing superior service to its customers, and this is abundantly clear with their charter flights. Looking to take a trip with the family or make a business event and would like to avoid the hassle of long security lines? Thunderbird provides world-class service to anywhere in the U.S. and Canada and lets you pick the Twin Cities Airport to depart from, making travel day efficient and easy. With a COVID-conscious travel environment that meets all CDC guidelines to ensure safety for passengers, have Thunderbird be the one that gets you where you need to go by emailing charter at thunderbirdaviation.com or by calling 952-941-1212. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Our guest is Kerry McCulley. The book is Ferry Pilot, Nine Lives Over the North Atlantic. And Kerry owns Skydive Twin Cities in Baldwin, Wisconsin. He's had that business for quite a long time. And we're going to get into that before the show is over. There was a chapter involving an inexperienced pilot And most of us, we look to guys that have got a lot more flying hours than us, and we learn from them. And the last story that you told is an example of that. But this young man, he was going to do a ferry flight. I believe it was his first, and he had a, was it a handheld GPS? And you and another pilot, he found out that he didn't have an ADF in the plane. And you did everything you could to talk him out of going without an ADF, and he just wouldn't listen. He said that GPS is fine. During the flight, what happened to him, and how did you guys save his rear end?
Well, yeah, this was back in the days of GPS's infancy, and they were notoriously unreliable. And when I first talked to him about it, he said, "Oh, don't worry, Miss, GPS works great unless it's raining." And did you see the weather report? It's going to rain half of our flight. He wasn't worried, but it's kind of dumb. When we take off from St. John's, the ATC separates us by 15 minutes, so the planes, we can't fly in formation. And about halfway to the Azores, this young guy comes up on the radio and says, "Help, my GPS went out, and he has no navigation." At this point, it's like, well, what in the world can we do for him? I mean, if there's no landmarks, there's, you know, you're over the middle of the ocean, and, you know, follow your compass and your flight plan, but that's pretty chancy. You know, you don't know, really know what the winds are doing. And then I saw that there was a line of clouds ahead of us, you know, the weather we'd been warned about. And I told him, you know, I asked him, and he said he wasn't there yet. He was probably half an hour ahead of me, but only 50 minutes ahead of another plane. And I told him, just once you get to the edge of the clouds, just circle in place. Don't go anywhere. He had plenty of gas. He was in a 172, so he had a couple hours of reserve. And I told my other pilot that was with me, as soon as you get to the clouds, just you go left and look for him. And when I get there, I'll go right, and we'll each go back and forth about 50-mile legs and see if we can spot this guy. And it worked. The guy ahead of me, the kid spotted him and was able to guide him to Santa Maria in the Azores. It was pretty darn lucky.
The people that you flew with like this, have you kept in touch with them over the years?
I have. The company that I flew for back in those days was Orient Air, and they were based out of South St. Paul Airport. And I'm still friends. I just actually saw them this last spring at Sun and Fun with Pete Demas, this owner's son. I'd made a couple trips with him and check in with a couple of other guys on Facebook now and then. You know, it's a small community, so we get together once in a while.
You had a near miss with the DC-10. I believe it was around the Ivory Coast area. You were in each other's blind spot. Tell us about that. I think you were you flying? I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. If you were flying a twin, and you wanted to take the longest runway, and or am I mixing stories up here? Then you had the wind at your tail on takeoff, and there was a DC-10 that was taking off in the same runway coming at you. Or am I confusing stories here?
A little bit confusing stories, but I'll straighten you out. I was in a 402, which is a twin. No problem.
Right.
Going into the Ivory Coast after flying all night over the Sahara, and there was a cloud layer over the airport, and it was really weird because the tops of the clouds, it's like basically a fog bank, were at 300 feet, which is only 100 feet above the missed approach altitude for the ILS I'd be shooting. So it was very, very strange to come in there in bright sunshine and then dip into the clouds for just a couple of seconds before you're at your missed approach point, and I had to go around. And as I'm telling the tower that I'm going around, they're like, you know, they had cleared me to land. I mean, I'm on an instrument flight plan, instrument approach, and they're like, what do you mean you're going around? There's a plane taking off. And they had pretty much forgot that I was on the approach and couldn't see me and cleared a jet to take off. And as I banked hard, this jet popped out of the clouds right beneath me. And it was exciting for a moment or two.
How close did you guys get to each other?
Oh, 400 or 500 feet, which...
Oh, you're kidding.
Seems like it sounds like a lot, but not
no,
that
it's not.
Far when you see that great big whale come out of the undercast.
And, yeah. Yeah,
fill
that's
your
a blink wings. Of an eye.
Yeah, and the wake turbulence is the big thing, you know.
One of the stories that I love in the book had to deal with Anwar Sadat's son. And if I remember, and again, I hope I'm not mixing up stories here. It was a Cherokee 6 that his son, is it Jakari Sadat? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah. Yes.
He purchased was it a new Cherokee 6 or a used Cherokee 6? But anyway, you flew this from the U.S. over to Egypt. Uneventful trip. You land at Cairo, and you're absolutely amazed at the beauty of Egypt. It has its own beauty. You get to the airport, and you are met by Anwar Sadat's son. Tell us a story, because you were surprised at how nice this guy was.
Yeah, actually, I met him in Alexandria, Egypt, which is on the coast of the Mediterranean. He wanted to fly that last leg from Alexandria to Cairo. And he was the nicest guy in the world, you know. And it was amazing that the customs guys were giving me a lot of hassle, and I had time to kill, so I was playing dumb and kind of playing my stupid American thing.
Because they want a bribe.
Yeah,
they all wanted bribes, right?
They all wanted bribes. And I took perverse pleasure in torturing these guys, because they won't actually ask you for a bribe. They hint really strongly, and they can't understand that you don't get it. And I'm like, so I was kind of torturing these guys, so I had time to kill, and this guy shows up, and it's like royalty walked into the room. You know, he's Anwar Sadat's son. You know, it's like, holy cow, he's a big deal. And these guys, all my problems went away with the officials right there. That was that was kind of convenient. Yeah, nicest guy in the world. But
he loans out his bodyguard to you, gives you cash, so you can go enjoy yourself for 4 days in Egypt. Tell us about with Sadat. He wants to fly the plane, and you do some low-level passes around the pyramids, which I would think would be restricted airspace to national monuments like that. Or am I wrong on that one?
Nope, not wrong at all. Pretty restricted. Yeah, so when he met me at Alexandria, we flew to Cairo and hadn't even went, you know, first time there. He said, you know, have you ever seen the pyramids? Like, no. And he goes, well, pick up this heading and we'll go over there. And sure enough, there's the pyramids. And, you know, it was like a dream come true of mine. You know, it's like a lot of us, when we become pilots, we always envision this, the grand adventure of flying around the world, seeing all kinds of great things and, you know, just having adventures. And seeing the pyramids is probably top of everyone's list. I mean, it's just so yeah. Cool. And we got close and he goes, kind of looks at me with a mischievous grin. You want to buzz him? Yeah, can we? And we buzzed the pyramids below the tops of the pyramids, right in between them, split them like the uprights. The Sphinx was right there. I didn't even know that. I'm like, look out, there's a Sphinx. You know, right, you know, 100 feet off the top of that. You did three passes, both giggling like schoolgirls. Just, I'm just giddy. I can't believe we're doing this. And as we pull out the third time, he goes, all right, we better get out of here. Even I'm going to have to do some explaining tomorrow, because it's super illegal. We're like, hey, well, I'm with Anwar Sadat. You know, what are they going to do?
when you go to the strip where you're going to land the plane, it sounded like there were tens of thousands of kids flying kites on the runway. What were they doing on the runway with kites?
Well, the kids with the kites were on the buildings on the approach. So as you're coming into approach, there's just all these little kites-like barrage balloons you got to weave in and out. I'm like, what the heck? And then as I get through the barrier of kites, the whole runway is filled with kids playing soccer. There's a couple hundred kids. The whole runway, the entire runway is filled with kids. And I'm telling, you know, that son is like, there's kids on the runway. He goes, don't worry, they'll move. Okay. And you just come in and just, you know, just like kids in Minnesota playing street hockey, they look over their shoulder and shout, plane. And as you come in, the kids literally just step just enough off the runway to not get hit and then close in behind you. So it's like the parting of the Red Sea. I'm amazed. I'm positive I'm going to hit some little kid. And nope, nothing. They just stepped out of the way, hold their soccer ball, wave as you go past. And
Oh, I can't tell you how many times playing on Knox Avenue in Richfield, yelling car when a car would come down the block and interrupt our football game. Unbelievable.
Right.
You got to do something that a lot of people never have a chance to do besides everything that you've done with this fairy flying. But the bodyguard who was showing you around, you went to the Cairo Museum, which has got to be one of the greatest museums in the world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was fantastic. They've got more stuff in there. You go into the back corners, the dusty corner that's not even a main room, and they've got stuff back in there that would be on prominent display at any other museum in the world. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's the storage closet.
How many years after Anwar Sadat was assassinated were you doing this in Cairo with his son?
I think about 10. Just look that up. But, it was kind of wild. The first morning I had breakfast with his son, I'm in his office, and I'm sitting next to the Nobel Prize on the wall right next to my shoulder, and picture of him and President Carter signing the peace accords and all. I'm like, wow, this is cool. That's a Nobel Peace Prize right there.
Now, did you keep in touch with him or not?
A little bit. He kept saying he wanted to get a different plane. You know, these guys always want to get bigger and better planes, but that never came through. I ended up ferrying another plane, though, of a friend of his. The president before Sadat was Nasser, and his son hired us to come and pick up a 310 that he'd bought and fly it back to Crystal Airport. That's actually where it was going to get overhauled. And this particular 310 was a present from Anwar Sadat, from the Shah of Iran to Anwar Sadat back in the mid-70s. So it had a historical significance. So that was kind of interesting. It was a piece of junk. Oh, that's funny.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Kerry McCulley. The book is Ferry Pilot, 9 Lives Over the North Atlantic, and we'll find out where you can get this book, because it is a great read. And if you're involved in aviation at all, you'll get a few chuckles. All right, you'll get a lot of laughs reading this book, because there's some funny stuff in here. You're listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington at the crossroads of 35W and 494, and by Thunderbird Aviation with locations at Flying Cloud Airport in Eden Prairie and at the Crystal Airport. This is The World of Aviation.
AM 1280, The Patriot.
Has your work-life balance taken a toll by working from home? The Eden 100 building has exactly what you need to reestablish your work-life balance. Affordable office leases available immediately in a private office setting. The Eden 100 building will provide you an opportunity to separate your 9-to-5 from the family and get back into a healthy routine. Conveniently located off Eden Avenue and Highway 100. For details and showings, contact property management at 952-767-0327. That's 952-767-0327.
In today's world, time is precious, and Thunderbird Aviation is here to save it by offering world-class charter services for you to avoid planning an entire travel day for a 2-hour flight. Skip the airport trips and long security lines by chartering a flight to your next family or business destination. Thunderbird's charter flights allows you to avoid crowded airports and adjust your departure. Visit ThunderbirdAviation.com to request a quote or email charter@ThunderbirdAviation.com today.
I'm Paul Ostro, and I approve this message. It is both heartbreaking and infuriating to hear the stories of neighbors traumatized by the wave of carjackings in Hennepin County. But as many victims pushed for a tough new felony carjacking law in Minnesota, politicians like Ryan Winkler stood in their way. Winkler cares more about partisan politics than keeping you and your family safe. Now, he wants to be the county's top prosecutor. But if he didn't care about violent crime in the legislature, will he fight for your safety as Hennepin County attorney?
This primary election, vote for plans, not politics. Visit www.ostroforhennepin.com to check out our 10-point plan to address violent crime. www.ostroforhennepin.com. And most importantly, vote Paul Ostro for Hennepin County attorney on August 9th.
The aviation industry is hiring, meaning there is no time like the present to start your career in aviation. This is Al Malmberg. Academy College supports you while you make your dreams come true. Earn a 2 or 4 year degree in business, IT, or aviation. Choose career-specific courses that enhance your knowledge in your chosen field. If aviation is your calling, enroll in the Commercial Pilot, Aviation Management, or the only FAA-approved dispatch course in the entire state of Minnesota. Academy College makes the college transition easy. You have the flexibility to attend courses in person or virtually to fit your schedule. Academy College offers small class sizes, hands-on instruction, and a competitive atmosphere to ensure you graduate as a true competitor in the marketplace. Live up to your potential, reach your dreams, and do it all with Academy's support. Start by emailing admissions at academycollege.edu or call 952-851-0066. Next quarter begins October 3rd. You're listening to The World of Aviation. Our guest is Kerry McCulley. Ferry Pilot is the book, Nine Lives Over the North Atlantic, and I think he had a lot more lives than a cat, to be honest with you, Kerry. You were an international smuggler. What were you smuggling?
We were smuggling aircraft parts. I find that out on my first trip when we opened up the nose of the Seneca, or the Duchess I was flying, and it was filled with parts that didn't belong to that airplane. That was my boss's little money-making scheme, because taxes in Europe and Africa are outrageously expensive. So we'd always throw a couple extra parts in the plane to defer the cost a bit, maybe more than a few.
Yeah.
No drugs.
Now, being a bank robber, I got to tell you, reading the chapter when you were robbing a bank, I was sweating, and I felt for you. I mean, my heart just went out to you, because I can't imagine finding myself in that situation. Tell us a story. You weren't really robbing the bank, but in your mind, you thought you were.
Well, kind of. I mean, I took money out that I didn't put in. It technically didn't belong to me, but basically, I'd received a letter from a bank in Spain, kind of a bank manager's accounting, and asking if it was true that, you know, that I had, you know, $28,000 in the bank. Did that match what I thought I had in there? Which didn't really, because I don't remember having any money in that bank. And we did some, it's like, cool, I'm a poor struggling ferry pilot. I don't have $28,000 in the bank. So we found out that it was money that had been embezzled from one of our customers and friends in a flight school in Spain and was being hidden there. They'd stolen my identity. When I'd come to one of my trips, they'd taken my passport, made copies of it, and gone up and opened a fake account in my name. And our friend said, you know, he really needed that money back. I think the second time I heard it was actually up to 40-some thousand. And he needed the money and wondered if I would fly to Spain and help him get it. And I thought we were going to get it legally, you know, go to the bank, prove that this is a fake account, demand justice, and, you know, go through lawyers and do it all, you know, through the courts and stuff. And when I showed up, they had a different idea. They figured, well, let's just go into the bank and withdraw it. Just pretend it's your money. And, well, let me tell you, that was, if you think it's scary flying through a thunderstorm in the middle of the night in a single-engine airplane, try walking into a bank in Spain and taking money out that doesn't belong to you. Boy.
Well, and there is a piece of this puzzle that we should add, is that the manager of the bank, if I remember right, was in on this. He was the brother of the guy that was embezzling the money. Is that correct?
It was one of the tellers, one of the assistant managers.
Oh, one of the tellers.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when I came in to withdraw the money, he recognized it. He knew right away that this wasn't
the jig was up.
Yeah, and you remember, banks in Spain are different than the U.S. When you walk into a bank in Spain, they buzz you in, and you walk inside, and then the doors close behind you. So there's no running out. You know, you're pretty much trapped. And, you know, sat down at the manager's desk, and they bring out all this paperwork, and sure enough, there's a copy of my passport, but with a forged signature. And he's asking me, is this your signature? And we hadn't discussed this, and they're asking this band, and I don't know what to do. And I'm just like, do I lie? Do I tell the truth? What should I do? I end up going to a prison in Spain for a while. It didn't sound like much fun. So said it was mine, and nerve-wracking. I thought sure we were getting arrested.
And they, what surprised me the most was that the bank said they didn't have that much cash on hand and that they could only give you half, but you'd have to come back in about an hour to get it. And in that hour, you were sweating bullets, figuring we're going to go in there and the SWAT team's going to be there and I'm going to be arrested. Man, I reading this story, I felt for you, Carrie. I truly did. I thought, God, I don't know if I could do that. Unbelievable. You're flying a Cessna 206. What's it like to get hit by lightning, especially when you're sitting with all this extra fuel and tanks that are in the interior of the plane? Give us a scenario on that, how you came to be hit by lightning. And if I remember right, you flew through a wisp of clouds, and, you know, we've all done that, but suddenly you're hit by lightning. Tell us the story.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty nice day. I was in on the leg from Santa Maria in the Azores to Portugal. It's about 800 miles, and it was pretty much right in the middle. And it's a Cessna 206 turbine conversion, nice plane. You know, you put a turbine engine on a 206, and boy, you got a lot of power. It's a pretty cool plane. And I'm reading my book and just kind of chilling out, and there's ahead of me is this nothing stratus cloud, maybe 500 feet thick and a couple miles wide. And I glanced up at it and didn't really think much of it. You know, nothing to bother going around. Just keep on my course. And I hadn't been in that cloud for more than 10, 15 seconds. And kaboom. I mean, let me tell you, when lightning is loud. It hit the propeller. I could instantly see, like, it followed the arc of the propeller, so it was suddenly a huge Christmas tree wreath of fire off the end of the plane.
Wow.
And it was just, I mean, and I'm sitting in front of 180 gallons of fuel, two big tanks, and I, you know, my heart stopped. It's like, well, why didn't I blow up? It was, what is going on? You're kind of, Jesus. And when I, you know, finally landed, it had burned a hole in the wing root, about the size of a 50-cent piece. It melted one of the tire rims. Didn't blow the tire, which is amazing, but the aluminum was bubbled up like they'd hit it with an arc welder. And a big chunk was off the prop. It was shocking.
But I'm Literally. Where can we get the book? Carrie, I'm trying to remember where I found your book. I think I was going through Amazon looking for something else, and suddenly this came up, and, you know, they have a way of tracking you that I do a lot of searches on flying, and so apparently when I went into Amazon, all these books on flying came up, and yours was the first one I saw, and I'm reading this, and I thought, I have got to read this, I've got to get this guy on the air. He's out of his mind.
Yeah, the easiest is Amazon. You can get it in paperback or ebook version, or if anybody wants a signed copy, you can go to my website, which is carriemcauley.com, and I can shoot you out a signed copy. I sold a whole bunch of them over Christmas. Got to be real good friends with the post office and the mailman. I'm really shocked at the success of the book. I mean, it's been outstanding.
It's a great book, and you're a good writer. I mean, it was a great read. It truly was. Give us the website again, please.
CarrieMcauley.com. It's CarrieMcauley, all one word.
And I want to mention, Carrie, next week on the show, we're going to talk about a guy who grew up in Appleton, Wisconsin, and who was also a pilot, and his name is Harry Houdini. We're not going to have him on. He left us a long time ago. But interesting stories about Harry Houdini. We're going to learn about him and his flying. Carrie, I thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been a pleasure, and the book was fantastic, and I would highly recommend it. Carrie, you take care of yourself. And oh, by the way, you've made some 20,000 parachute jumps, correct?
Yeah, yep, up to 20,000.
Unfortunately, we didn't get into that, but check out skydivetwincities.com. Is that your website?
Yep.
Check it out. In Baldwin, Wisconsin, I can't think of a better place to have a skydiving school. Kerry, thank you so much. Again, the book is Ferry Pilot, Kerry McCauley. Hang on, Kerry. I'll talk to you off air here. You've been listening to The World of Aviation, sponsored by Academy College of Aviation, located in Bloomington, and by Thunderbird Aviation. This is The World of Aviation.
Salmon fishing in Alaska, at an amusement park in Green Bay, or taking a stroll through Loring Park.
We're where you are.
Stream AM 1280 The Patriot at Odyssey.com or with the free Odyssey app.
The power of the Christian education is that our children can make their decisions, and they're sound decisions, and it just makes them better adults.
Hi, I'm Jeff.
Hi, I'm Trish. And we're from Oakdale.
Jeff and Trish use the half-off tuition program for both of their sons' Christian education. That's half price for the first year of tuition at participating Twin Cities schools.
The half-off tuition program was better than we could have ever imagined for our family.
Details at TwinCitiesTuitions.com.
Wake up with the Patriots Daybreak Insider. Today's top news stories from a conservative viewpoint. Sign up at AM1280ThePatriot.com by using the keyword subscribe. That's subscribe at AM1280ThePatriot.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.